Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.
You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where you can get a daily dose of information about your favorite NBA and NFL teams, which now includes the Pacers with this podcast. My name is Tom Lewis of Indy Cornrows, a Pacers blog on the SB Nation blog network. Thanks for taking the time to listen to the show. I really appreciate all the positive feedback from our first episode. And as we go forward, please keep the comments and questions coming. I know our first episode touched on a topic in the past, which a lot of people don't want to revisit with the Club Rio trio. I'm the only person who has scraped up a couple fond memories from that just because of the way it helped launch my blog. But, the funny thing is that might rank third in crazy activities around that team and if I believe some of the stories I've heard off the record, that might not even be top five. But anyways, those things are stuff I'm tired of dwelling on in the past as well. So don't worry, we'll be moving on from that for sure. We got plenty of a bright future here to talk about with the Pacers. So anyways, I love the feedback. Make sure you reach out to me when you can. Like to get any comments and questions integrated into this show as well. You can reach me on Twitter at Indy Cornrows and via email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com. All right, so now we're ready to roll on with episode two. This week I want to look back at the first week of training camp and then point you to a few stories of interest that I saw. The Pacers practiced seven times in the first 5 days and took Sunday off to rest, rest that Nate McMillan felt was well-earned with the effort the players put in with a couple of two-a-day practices and then, some long three-hour practices, doing a lot of defense, a lot of conditioning. Paul George mentioned, the heavy conditioning, but that a lot of it was basketball-related, done through basketball work. So not just flat out getting on the line and running, which he appreciated, but there's no doubt the idea is to get this team moving up and down the floor. So getting them in shape to do that is a primary goal for Nate McMillan. So a couple of stories that you can go out and find and really get a good look at what happened this week. Mark Monteith on Pacers.com has a nice story up on Rodney Stuckey. And the way he's impressed so far in camp and how being healthy, shocker, makes a big difference. And he's feeling good and has really been pushing the ball up the floor and attacking. And the other, a takeaway from that is when the Pacers talk about maybe going smaller or running more and having a higher pace, again, they're not trying to be the Golden State Warriors. They're not trying to launch threes at whenever possible. For this team, it's about playing good defense, getting the ball, and then pushing it back up the floor, not letting the defense get settled. And I guess using the strengths of guys like Jeff Teague, Monte Ellis, Rodney Stuckey, who can slash to the lane, slash to the bucket, and put pressure on the defense before they get set up. So then that will open up shots and other plays as they go forward. But that's the idea, and so far they're off and running. The other item, and Mark hits on, is Miles Turner. He's back in the gym. He's not ready to play yet. Still going through the NBA protocol for what Turner described as a very mild concussion that he didn't think was a big deal, but now he's well over a week into dealing with that, and he won't be playing in the team's first preseason game on Tuesday. So still not a source of big concern. The biggest problem is that he really needs to be playing with that starting unit and developing that on-court chemistry, obviously. That's the biggest problem. It looks like they haven't just thrown in Al Jefferson to be the starter. They're keeping Al as a reserve big and working with either Rakeem Christmas or Kevin Serafin, it looks like, as holding that role in the starting rotation right now as they practice and try and get those first and second units used to playing with each other going forward. So hopefully Turner will be back on the court next week when he'll be ready for a game. We don't know, but that's a primary concern with a young fellow who's got a lot to learn and the Pacers are relying on quite a bit. Another good story I want to point you to, Nate Taylor from the Indy Star had a piece on C.J. Miles and how he is preparing for this season. You know, last year he was hyped up and really came into camp in great shape and excited, but he had prepared to be a two or a three and ended up playing a lot of four. And so this year he's bulked up a little bit more and actually was able to get a scouting report about him, how to prepare to defend him. And he used a trainer down in Dallas to focus on those weaknesses that other teams were trying to exploit and trying to improve his game off of that. So that was pretty cool. It's funny because he wouldn't give up the source of his info and just mentioned that after 12 years in the league, he's got some access to information. So hopefully he'll be able to start off strong again, but then maintain this year. And obviously he'll be in a more limited role coming off the bench, but he's going to have to put up to earn those minutes. Glenn Robinson III will be chomping at the bit to get in there, and even rookie George Niang. So CJ's going to have to look forward to playing well, but also be looking behind him to make sure he maintains those minutes. So that's the one thing with Turner out. We're talking about reserve guys, and these guys are going to have not as big of an impact in the grand scheme of things. So it'll be nice to see the team out on the floor this week and start drawing some broader conclusions or getting some better information about how the units are meshing together and playing. So, and finally, one more piece I want to point you towards on In the Cornrows. Caitlin Cooper did a nice job of breaking down a concern that Nate McMillan expressed about the team's rebounding, something that has not been a problem over the past few years with the bigger lineups the Pacers had under Frank Vogel. But now that they're trying to go a little smaller and maybe running more, they might leave the emphasis on rebounding and that, going from a top rebounding team to a middle tier one is not, as Caitlin says, that's not a big problem. But if you're going to do that, you got to make up for it in other areas. And really what it's all about is possessions, getting the ball and hanging on to the ball. So for the Pacers, that their turnover problems have sometimes negated that rebounding edge that they have had. So fortunately, we saw in the first day of practice, Nate McMillan was sternly addressing those turnover issues. So they're going to have to be a little tighter with the ball to try and make up for that gap in any rebounding problems. So that's something to keep an eye on here as we go into the preseason games and looking at rebounding, the turnovers, and how many possessions the Pacers are going to be able to maintain and or lose throughout the game. So so that kind of covers the first week. There's a lot of discussion about reserve players doing well, and even the young, really young guys who are fighting to just maybe get a 10th or 9th spot in the rotation. Joe Young, Glenn Robinson III, those guys all playing well. Hasn't been a lot of talk about the starters. Again, it isn't real fair because the full unit isn't together since Miles Turner is out. So I'm sure that they will be under focus as we get into games and see how they're actually performing. And then we'll get a better feel for it, as I said. So let me take a minute here just to thank again the Locked On Podcast Network for making this podcast possible. They have a lot of great shows. I'm learning a lot and really appreciate the support. And make sure you check out, the other team Locked On Podcast, especially when we're, like Locked On Pelicans coming up. And of course, there's a Locked On NBA show. There's some great NFL stuff as well. Locked On Fantasy shows. I know Locked On Colts may be a bit painful after that disturbing loss in London to the Jaguars, but there's no doubt they're going to have plenty of interesting information to talk about. So please check that out. Also, just had a great conversation with the guys from Limited Upside Podcast, Mike Preda and Ben Epstein. We did a Pacers preview and just had a real good conversation about all the changes, all the concerns, what might go right, what could possibly go wrong, and I think they hit all the high points real well, and it was a fun conversation. So that show should be available on Monday at some point. And so check out my Twitter feed at Indy Cornrows, and look for links for Limited Upside Podcast, and check that show out. It was a lot of fun. All right, so moving on. In the first show, I mentioned how Monte Ellis is kind of turning over a new leaf, and with his preparation and taking care of his body, and understanding that his age has kind of caught up with him, and he has to curtail certain aspects of his life to get his rest and do additional strength training and fitness training to keep healthy after a rough season last year, which also, we also dealt with leg injuries and had issues. And I know that one of the easiest ways, especially when you think about some of the depth on the team, would be to give him more rest, even full days off, maybe when he's not healthy. But he shot that suggestion down quickly on media day and said he really has a hard time watching basketball. If he's there, he'd rather play. But, I think the Pacers are hoping that he does stay healthy, is able to be a little more consistent, but they should really watch how things go and then look to maybe find days to rest him. I mean, his numbers last year, if you look at the 0 days rest, 1 day rest, 2 day rest, and then 4 day rest numbers, it's just like climbing a ladder. The more rest he had, the better his numbers were, the better the impact on the game. And even looking back in his prior 2 years, the numbers weren't so clear cut as far as rising with that rest. It was a lot more level. So, if you look at his, his field goal efficiency numbers with 0 days rest, he was at about 42%. Then with the days rest or 2 days rest, he was around 48%. 4 days rest is about almost 54%. And then if you look at his offensive and defensive ratings, which are, the number of points scored per 100 possessions, it's normalized. So his defensive numbers with 0 days rest was 106.4. And then with 1 day's rest, that went down to 99. And then with 2 and 4 days rest was down to 95. Meanwhile, his offensive numbers went the other way. So if you had the net rating with the offense minus the defense, His net rating was actually negative 8.8 points per possession, or per 100 possessions, with 0 days rest. And then all the other days were positive. One day rest was about 4, 2 days rest was about 9, and 4 days rest was 20-point difference. So obviously there's not as many games with 4 days rest. So if you look at even the 2 day rest numbers are what you're looking at to get an actual good feel for that number. But still, it was obvious. Whenever he had a little time to get some his legs under him and a little extra rest, he was a much different player. So that's just something I think that, you know, the Pacers got to monitor early with Monte. And as the season wears on, assuming even if he's not complaining of any leg issues or anything, he's not getting younger. So they got to make sure that he's available throughout the whole season. And if there's a good time to rest him on a back-to-back, you know, they shouldn't hesitate. So that's just kind of a point I wanted to make on Monte with the whole rest thing. I know he would go kicking and screaming, not being able to play if he's healthy, but sometimes you gotta do what's best for the team. And if resting him on a back-to-back is gonna be better for the team, then they're gonna have to do it. So after week one now, Pacers had Sunday off. Now they're heading into week two when we won't have actual games. So they'll be practicing at the Fieldhouse on Monday and then head to New Orleans for their first preseason game, which is absolutely intriguing for Pacers fans because, of course, Solomon Hill appears to be a guy who's going to start be in the starting lineup for the Pelicans. Obviously, he's going to play a lot after signing for $13 million per. They're going to play him. So, and then also, Lance Stephenson is trying to get some run down there as well. You can't turn your head away from Lance Stephenson on the court. So that'll be fun. Then another Indiana connection with Etuan Moore, who from Purdue, he was able to sign after a real solid year with the Bulls last year. So there's some good players on the Pelicans for us to keep an eye out on. And, of course, they're a team that's kind of in transition. They're trying to get Anthony Davis to be that cornerstone that can lift the team up on his own. And the young fella is still working at that. I think he's 23 now, so give him some time. He should be trying to have a more impactful year in the win column this year for the Pelicans. They're going to need it desperately. So after the Tuesday game, then the Pacers are back home on Thursday for their only preseason game at the Fieldhouse. And that, too, is pretty intriguing because we have the Bulls coming down I-65 with Rajon Rondo and Dwayne Wade and, of course, Jimmy Butler and all of their all their friends who can't get into the United Center. So I'm sure there'll be plenty of red in the stands as usual. But it should be an interesting game as well as far as preseason goes. So after that Colts debacle today, seeing the Pacers on the court is going to be a welcome sight. Can't wait. Even if it is just preseason, there's so many storylines this year to follow with the Pacers, all the changes with the coaching and the players that really excited to see him get on the court now. So that'll wrap it up for our second episode here of Locked On Pacers. Thanks again for listening, and please share your thoughts with me on Twitter at IndyCornrows and through email at IndyCornrows@gmail.com. And we'll be getting you ready for that Pelicans game in our next episode. And until then, go Pacers!